You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Welcome to the Cooligans and Underdogs Women's World Cup special.
This is a collab,
the first of its kind. We're absolutely thrilled to be working with these gentlemen that I'm about to introduce.
Part of the Metalark family.
That's right. We're all holding hands. It's a kumbaya moment. Right? We're excited about these guys. The host of the Underdogs podcast, Jordan Brenner and Peter Keating. What's up, let's gentlemen?
Go. How's it going?
Today, we're going to be focusing on the Women's World Cup. And look, the Cooligans, everybody knows, we're the jokesters, we're the comedians.
Yeah. But everybody knows we often talk about sports, statistically speaking, you know?
Okay.
It's a big thing for us.
Analytics and data, not really our thing. I'm a fan of a good...
I'm a fan of analysis as long as I don't have to do it.
Okay.
That's a big thing for me.
I've been around the spreadsheet from time to time. Time, okay, you know? I know what I'm doing, but when it comes to betting and obviously betting on DraftKings, this is why we bring in you guys to get the absolute deep analysis and figure out who should we favor, what should we bet on when it comes to the Women's World Cup,
but also figuring out like unlikely stories, you know. And we were talking a little bit beforehand about just the sort of the cool part or the added extra variable of a knockout tournament. That there's additional risk and teams play different or nations play different. So there's a cool way to break this whole thing down.
Well, as Jordan always likes to say, we've got your number.
Yeah. Okay.
There we go. I mean, we like to look at why unlikely things happen and go kind of tell
So then
tell
why did my dad leave and not come back?
Okay, well, yeah.
Wow.
What stats you got on that, dude?
They usually say it's not about the kids.
Yeah, the guy gets it, man. This is how good he is, guys.
I was going to say that requires a different kind of regression.
Right. Analysis, Alexis didn't even bring this up on his first day of therapy. That was very intense. It was a lot for Peter.
It was a lot for both of them. We both felt like bad dads all of a sudden.
Can we do a live call? Find out?
Oh, he'll probably tell you.
So when it comes to the Women's World Cup, the things that you...
All I can think of is Nessa, it's your mom.
It's okay.
So, like I said, first and last.
So obviously, the U.S. Women's National Team are the favorites. Obviously, you see how I'm dressed. I'm quite excited about supporting the Women's National Team. We were doing a bunch of watch parties and watching all these games for the 2019 World Cup. The women also won in 2015, so they're clearly the heavy favorites.
Could be a three-peat.
Right. Can it actually happen? Do you think we can have a three-peat in a Women's World Cup?
Sure. I mean, I think
all
it's...
All right, episode over.
I mean, there can be, right?
They're the best team in the world, at their best at least, right?
The question is, will there be? Now, what's interesting is they're actually a bigger favorite this time than 4 years ago, which I don't think matches the narrative you're hearing about turnover and where this team is in their cycle, right? So I kind of want to throw that back to you guys. Is this a vintage U.S. team? Should they be the number one favorite to win the World Cup, which is what the books have them at?
Yeah, I mean, are you feeling it? I mean, between the injuries, what is it? Is there one center back on the team?
Two.
That's between the injuries.
You got to play them both at the same
positions,
time.
Maybe.
It's very scary. No,
maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be experimenting with new rules with roster, right?
During the World Cup, Blacko.
But between the coach, the injuries, the differences in the roster, retirements. I mean, are you feeling
I'll
it?
Let you take this first.
Yeah, I mean, look, my main concern, I've said this a bunch of times on our show, I think from an attacking perspective, the U.S. has the best roster as far as attacking talent in the Women's World Cup. When it comes to defense, that's when I start to get a little worried. Becky Sauerbrunn was injured. Only bringing two proper center backs that play for their clubs at center back regularly. That's a bit of a concern, the depth, right? So I think in the group stage, I'm not too worried. But when it comes to the knockout rounds, when it's, fatigue starts to set in, maybe there's an injury. to a player, to one of the center backs.
Who, I'm not as worried about that. For me, I think the scenario is that we're almost too deep. We're too talented. You know, like me, I'm too beautiful, you know?
Right,
that's
right.
The real problem.
That's what we were all thinking.
I'm just here to, you guys are talking about unlikely results. I'm telling you about what people are really thinking. Yeah. I think the problem is that...
Well, that wasn't unlikely.
Yeah, there you go. I think we're almost too deep. So it's difficult. It's almost like, you know, being the NBA team that has the first pick in a draft.
Yeah, but we've had that before, right? We've had... the biggest competition has been who's going to start for the U.S. national team for multiple cycles now, right?
Yeah, but so, the difference is that now other nations have gotten better.
See, that's the thing.
So
that's
they know who's starting because they're like, well, this is the best left back we have. This is the best striker we have, so you got to play well. We, meanwhile, have a couple of different ways we could piece this together.
Right.
So it's almost a bit more... There was a term, was it a decision fatigue or option fatigue?
Yeah, decision fatigue.
Paralysis
yeah.
by analysis?
Yes.
Yeah. Something like that.
What I was going to say next. That's great. That sort of... It feels like that is kind of seeping in because the conversations you have with fans of the team are like, no, Crystal Dunn needs to start here. Well, if you do that, then you need to move this piece here and there. No, but here, Ashley Sanchez should start. Trinity Rodman should start.
Right.
But there's so many options.
But the big picture statistically and what you're saying is that all those decisions matter now. Who's going to start?
Yes.
Who comes in? You get fatigued after 60 minutes. All these things matter because now there's half a dozen plausible teams that could win, right?
Yes.
The U.S. is more first among equals. Still the best, highest-ranked team in the world, but it wouldn't shock anybody if Spain or the Netherlands or somebody else knocked the U.S. off. What I think is interesting is that analytically was true also in 2019, but that team was so widely seen as an extension of the dominance of 2015.
Right.
Nobody was surprised when the U.S. won. Nobody would be disappointed. Now, because of the back-to-back, I think people are setting themselves up for extreme disappointment. It's like the U.S. is supposed to be, in the minds of so many fans, like overwhelming, dominant favorites. They weren't before. They're even less so now. So it's going to be a tight group at the top.
And now countries like England and Spain, Germany, they're just tired of the U.S. winning all the time.
There's a lot of motivation.
There's a lot
right?
of reasons.
They're all rooting for anyone but the U.S. They're not even rooting for themselves.
Right. Is rooting for the U.S. to lose.
Yeah.
And it's like, the U.S. team's place isn't compared to these teams. It's like historical, right?
Right.
The U.S. team is a dynasty that's maybe aging out of dominance.
Right.
And at that point, all the other teams are sharks. They're not in awe. This isn't the 27 Yankees anymore where you're just watching Carly Lloyd score a goal every year.
Right.
Like, they're there to be taken. That's what these other teams are thinking.
Well, and also, how do we take the 2020 Olympics as a proxy for what we're going to see here, too, right?
Yeah.
That's the most recent major international competition we've seen. What does that tell you about what to expect?
Well, the first thing is the roster's a lot younger than that Olympic roster. And also, the Olympics, just the match days are like, you know, you might have like one day off between games. Like, it takes... And the amount of players that you can call up is a smaller amount. So it's really difficult to just have the energy to just finish the tournament, especially if you have some older players that are fatigued.
And I want to... You said the roster's a lot younger. It's very different. We've seen in soccer, though, when you have this changing of the guard and you still got Alex Morgan, is she going to start? Is she not going to start? Megan Rapinoe's there. They brought Julie Ertz back in. So there's these vestiges of this other era around, but then there's this whole slew of new, younger, more talented, at this point in their career, players that doesn't always mesh super well.
Yeah.
Do you worry at all about not even necessarily chemistry issues, but identity issues, especially, I think we need to get into, with the coaching on this team?
I mean, the coaching we can talk about, but as far as how the team blends, I still think that the U.S. isn't necessarily like Spain, for example, is very much a tiki-taka style, which is like, I'm going to pass, I'm going to stand here, I'm going to stand there. The U.S. still depends on sort of exceptional individual talent. So really, I don't think it's really much of an issue as to whether they're blend. A lot of these players have played together. Some of these players play together on club teams. So I feel like it's very simple. Like, if you're a Trinity Rodman, for example, Dennis Rodman's daughter, she's going to come in, potentially start somewhere forward.
So which one is it more? Is it that the U.S. is such a powerhouse at developing athletic talent that you just put all those great players on the field and they'll be great? Or is it they bring them along together and they play earlier?
No, I would argue.
Together.
Look,
I would say it's probably 75-25. The first part that we have exceptional talent.
I would say, look, there's a strong history of the veteran leadership bringing in younger players. I mean, you talk to Alex Morgan, she'll talk about Abby Wambach. She'll talk about Julie Foudy. She'll talk about Megan Rapinoe. Mention those players. There's a real passing of the torch that we saw at the ESPYs, and and talking about what it means to be on the U.S. Women's National Team is not simply playing in World Cups. It is also fighting for equal pay, fighting for equal treatment. They've done documentaries about this. That's what I think. Right now, I think the U.S. Women's National Team, the vibes are just through the roof. I mean, look at Trinity Rodman's TikTok. She's dancing. She's getting the other players involved.
She's in video. She's in rap videos. She's killing it.
Well, I mean, think of the cultural moment. The cultural moment where the movement for equal pay exploded into different corporate realms, into public consciousness, was when the old president of FIFA was standing there at the ticker tape parade and the crowd burst into chants of Equal Pay USA.
Right.
That changed the entire leadership of world soccer.
Yeah.
I have this foreboding feeling that basically through no fault of the players, these players could play basically just as well as that team did, because that team won a whole series of close matches. And the Olympics, the margins of the winning games in the Olympics were even closer, right? They could play just as well, not win, and be regarded as this gigantic disappointment because that team was so special 100%. For so many reasons. I got a hot take.
I feel like this team is so individually talented but has such great veteran leadership that they could play just as well without a coach.
I mean, Alex, that's very, very hot. It's
super hot.
Burning thing. Through the floor.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a molten take.
It's ruining the foundation of the building that we're in.
Yeah. Okay. You get someone just to pick up the flags and put them in a basket.
That's all you need. A couple cones out. You know, training. Cones, yeah.
Real quick, any drama getting out of the group?
No, I don't see any. I mean, obviously, we can take a quick look at the group here. Obviously,
Netherlands could pose a problem, but I don't see. Portugal and Vietnam are in their first ever Women's World Cup. So under no circumstances should we be losing. The only fear I have is Netherlands beats those teams with a higher goal differential.
And
then they usurp us for the top of the group.
We got to keep Vietnam in mind because I would like to think about which team is going to score the fewest points in the entire tournament. I'm not sure if Vietnam is going to score a goal.
If they do, it will be they'll get a parade.
You would imagine
Vietnamese will be like, "Did we win this World Cup?"
you would imagine against Portugal, it's not impossible. Look, they qualified for the World Cup. We have seen teams in the past. Thailand, for example, if just like. The level is just...
They scored one.
Got
it.
The level is just so high. But when it comes to, and we'll talk about, as far as some of the bets that we could possibly make, but that Vietnam not scoring a goal could be a good, an interesting factor in this World Cup.
A little bit of a cooler take, no coach, but still.
Yeah, I think Vietnam could do just as well with no coach. Because that's how badly they're going to do.
You know what? That's a more reasonable thing. All right. All right. We'll be back with more of the Cooligans and Underdogs, a special here on the DraftKings Network.
We are back with the Underdogs Cooligans crossover World Cup extravaganza. I'm Jordan Brenner from the Underdogs. We're super psyched to be joined by the Cooligans. Christian Polanco, Alexis Guerrero, Scott.
Let's go.
We talked about Team USA. Now, we, in our little corner of the sporting universe, we like to talk about long shots, underdogs, teams to make unexpected runs in various sports. So, guys, I want to go group by group, and let's talk about a team that maybe isn't favored to get out of the group who might make some noise. So, starting with Group A, you can see here New Zealand, Norway, Philippines, Switzerland, Peter. You got your eye on anybody right now, odds-wise?
Yeah, I don't think anyone knows enough to call the difference between Switzerland and New Zealand definitively, but the market has been favoring New Zealand because, of course, Australia and New Zealand are hosting the World Cup.
Of course, yeah, they're home.
Our best estimate of the home field or home pitch advantage in soccer in the World Cup is 0.15 goals a game, and it's been declining over time. That's not enough to account for the difference here. So I'd say Switzerland bust out of Group A.
So
it's got to be even worse for the Philippines, who are kind of near their home.
Yes, who are associated with the district,
yeah,
but are outside the school.
Right. So you are getting slightly better odds on New Zealand. They're at -120 to get out of the group. Switzerland -150, but it's not material. So yeah, I think take, if you have a strong take on one of those two teams, I think taking a shot on them with a bet is not bad.
Yeah, this feels like a group where we can get upset is not necessarily the word, but it's a favorable group to be in, where your odds are, I think, are pretty good.
But wait, who do you think beats up on who here? The favorite has to be Norway.
Yes. New Zealand
they're home, but they're not
home,
great.
But they're not a great team. I mean, they just like, especially compared to Australia is like a solid squad. And
yeah, they're around, a powerhouse.
Yeah.
New Zealand, happy to be here. Glad you came.
As opposed to happy to be here, yeah, which, yeah, is what, which is what their favorite.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, so Philippines, obviously, their first World Cup. There's
a lot of Americans on the squad, a lot of American college players.
Yeah. And interesting, they have an interesting story, too, where they haven't gotten fans in the Philippines may not be able to watch the World Cup because they no local broadcaster has bought the rights for the Women's World Cup yet, and we're just a couple days away. So it's a disappointing and all too common kind of a thing that we're seeing in women's soccer. I don't know. Look, Philippines is going to get beat up on in this group. We know that, but New Zealand and Norway feel like the two that most likely will get through.
Switzerland also not a terrible team.
Not a terrible team, but
I could see New Zealand really taking it to the Philippines and maybe squeaking one out against Switzerland,
right,
and finding a way to finish second in this group.
All right, Group B. Really interesting group.
Yeah.
Canada, Australia, Ireland, Nigeria. What's interesting here is Australia actually has shorter odds to get out of the group at -1100. That means for you new to this beautiful thing that is betting, you have to bet $1,100 to win $100. Canada's -500. Bet 500. Bet 100. Bet 500 to win 100. And then you've got the longer shots: Republic of Ireland +350 and Nigeria +550. First things first, either of those two underdogs have a chance to unseat one of the two favorites.
Yeah, I could see Ireland making some noise.
Also Nigeria. I mean,
Nigeria's incredible, but I think Ireland. There's something about Ireland after having watched them play against the U.S. in the two friendlies. They've got Denise O'Sullivan. I hope it's Denise, mm-hmm, from North Carolina Courage. There's a couple gamers on the Ireland squad. What's it? Sinead Farrelly.
Back after what? 8 years?
Yeah.
8 years.
And nice little break. Took a lap.
But looks look confident, and even playing against the U.S., which obviously is in a friendly, one of the best teams you're ever going to face.
The least friendly in women's soccer.
But she looked really comfortable, and it looked like she'll have some sense of, I don't know if it's necessarily a leadership role for the Irish team, but to see that confidence was great when she was playing.
Yeah.
But Nigeria has a Gotham FC player, Ifeoma Anumanu, who's an incredibly great striker. The Nigerian team does struggle from time to time. Obviously, they give up goals here and there. The Nigerian team is like kind of the one I'm...
That's the vibe
I'm rooting for a little bit. So I think they could cause a little bit of a surprise.
Look, so often you see two great teams and two also-rans you can kind of peg in a group, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be what this group is like. But the third ranked team, Ireland, when you see big upsets in global soccer, it's usually because of mucked up defense. It's not because one striker out of nowhere scores unexpectedly, right, because if you're a mediocre team with one good player, a great team can key on that guy,
right,
or gal really easily, right? But if you obstruct, if you get a lot of clearances, tackles, interceptions, that's what we see in teams that pull big upsets. When you watch Ireland, you know, it's not like they have five players back. It looks like they have seven players back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because of how they play, right? And their goalie's great too, Courtney Brosnan, right? Six clean sheets in the past year. So their defense gives them a chance to hold another team to no goals, which is how you pull upsets in these kinds of
groups. We got six groups to go, guys, so let's run through these a little quicker before we get a joint tackle by our two producers who I think would love to beat up on us. So Group C, real
this
quick.
This one's going to be pretty easy, actually.
Spain, Japan, Costa Rica, and Zambia, because the numbers tell us something different, Peter.
Really?
In Group C, Jordan?
Yeah.
I think it's I think the cleaves pretty cleanly into two winners.
In terms of
in terms of getting out of the group.
Sorry, yeah. I was thinking about winning the group because we have a take on that a little bit later.
I don't think Costa Rica or Zambia is getting out of this group. I think we can move on pretty safely. Right.
Yeah,
I mean look, Spain and Japan in one group.
Right, right. I mean, we recently saw a Spain play against the U.S. and win, and they look great. But Spain is also going through a lot of their own issues with their own federation. So I think those issues are kind of a factor in how the affecting team chemistry. That's why I'm also worried about France a little bit.
The only way Spain doesn't win this group is if they don't show up. I'm
just saying maybe they can finish second in the group.
Nah, but look, usually that's a joke, though. But they might.
I think there's some value on Japan at plus 450 to win the group.
Those are great odds. And I could see that potentially happening. But look, Zambia, Copper Queens, dope that you made your first World Cup. But I think this group is where you end your run. Costa Rica, same thing. This group is where you're done. I think it's Spain and Japan, easy.
All right, let's jump to Group D. England, Denmark, China, Haiti. Very interesting things.
Yeah,
very
by the ratings, they just flipped in the middle and they're very close. The ratings say Denmark and China are very close together, but you have to wonder, is that actually true? Is it a function of China has played, or is it really true? Or are the ratings overrating well-known European teams and underrating Asian teams?
Wow, analyzing the ratings of the ratings. How do you
assess that? Who's the second best team in this group?
Just to put a fine point on it, China is plus 200 to get out of the group. Denmark's minus 300. So there's a big disparity in betting lines between two teams that we think might be very equal.
You know what? Maybe I just don't know enough about the Chinese team, but it seems to me like England very clearly the top dog here.
Yeah, you would have to. They have to clearly win the group. They're just such a strong team. Even with
it's a full blown catastrophe if England doesn't top
after
this group.
Winning the Euros. They think they can win the whole thing. So.
But who else survives the group?
Yeah, the Denmark China question.
Denmark. I'm going to go Denmark.
You're not buying the fact that you can get much better odds on China?
No, only because it's the inverse of the England flag, so I'll take Denmark.
Peter, I feel like we're feeling China on the analytics.
Like China can definitely... I don't even know if it's necessarily an upset. China has historically been a very good team in the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, they played well against the U.S. Not the last World Cup, the one previous.
Right.
So I could see that potentially happening, but I feel I'm going to give it to Denmark.
All right, so we're head-to-head on this one. You agree, Peter?
Yeah.
China?
Yeah, I think that...
Sorry, Haiti, congrats.
I think a lot of the betting lines reflect Americans and Western Europeans throwing money at teams they know.
Yeah. That's right. All right, we're going to skip Group E. We already talked about the U.S., Netherlands, Portugal, and Vietnam. So let's go to Group F. Two, not much to say here.
You might say there's two more teams that are at the top and two below
them stratified.
With this group, maybe.
France and Brazil, and then you got Jamaica and Panama. Either of those teams capable of making any noise other than a thud?
No, I mean, look, it's a sad scenario, especially even with Jamaica, where they had to like raise money to get the players there and stuff like that. So you just clearly see the where the resources are.
The federation is standing in their way of success.
Yeah, so it's going to be...
But Brazil is stacked, and France is one of the best teams in the world. So.
Over the long haul, it helps the teams like this qualify for the World Cup and expand.
Yes.
Because over the long haul, resources will pour in. But in the short term, politics is killing Jamaica.
Yeah. So look...
Which, by the way, even the Jamaican men's team struggles to get resources. So it's a real issue.
Yeah.
Jumping ahead to Group G, you got Sweden is the overwhelming favorite to get out of the group at minus 5,000. But in the middle, you got Italy checking in at minus 350. Argentina, you can bet on at plus 300 to get out of the group. And then South Africa coming in with the longest odds at plus 1,200. Again, it seemed to be looking at the difference between the two and three seeds, right, in that group. Where do you see Italy versus Argentina getting out of there?
That's tough.
This is a really tough one.
This is not easy. Italy versus people who tell everyone they're Italian. This is really difficult.
This feels like one of those ones that are just so unpredictable.
It's a coin toss.
Argentina, this is their first World Cup, I think, or no? Argentina?
I don't know. Maybe. I know 14 nations are making their first World Cup. I don't know if Argentina is one of them.
Okay, but this is a team, Argentina, like not very historically well supported in the country.
Women's sports.
I mean, look, that's a whole other special that we can do.
Yeah.
This just in, it's Argentina's third World
Cup.
Third,
okay.
2003, 2007, they did have a staggering 11-0 loss to Germany in their opening game.
Yeah, they had a tough time. There's a, we don't talk about it in detail now, but there's a think you were alluding to this, a huge gender split in soccer support
yes.
in Argentina and some other countries.
A lot of countries.
It's not, you can't look at Argentina and say the men's program is here and correlate at all.
No. Yeah. I mean, in this scenario, I could see Sweden and South Africa maybe getting out of the group. I don't.
Sweden for sure.
Yeah.
Top of the group.
Yes.
And then to me, it's a coin toss. I'd love for South Africa.
Are you a bigger underdogs fan than we are? Are you just rooting for you know, underdog countries to make it?
Yeah, in this scenario, I just feel like, look, every World Cup, men's or women's, there's always like I think a highlight of like what African team can get out of their group, and it's always just like very inspiring. So I'm gonna be supporting South Africa in this one. But given that Argentina and Italy not historically dominant by any means, I don't think they're guaranteed to go through.
And I want to get back to South Africa a little later, tease when we talk about sort of the potential last place teams in their group, because I am curious about which of the potential last place teams you think has the best chance.
You're shorting to the knockout World Cup.
H, to me, this is the most interesting scenario with, again, who's going to get the second spot. We assume Germany's going to advance.
Germany, yeah.
You going all the way with Morocco?
They're minus
South Korea.
They're
minus 5,000, Germany. Then you've got South Korea's minus 105 to get out of the group. Colombia minus 150, and then Morocco is plus 3,500.
We just have time to make one pick here, right?
Quick, South Korea or Colombia?
We'll go with the underrated Asian South Korea.
I mean, I always say I'm Colombian during World Cups, but South Korea is probably going to go through.
Here we go.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
All right, we're back here with the Cooligan/Underdogs Women's World Cup special. Absolutely incredible. So we talked about winners in each of the groups. Let's talk about, the you know, people love to bet the other side. You know, remember that guy who shorted the economy? Okay. Remember that? Ruined everything?
Right. I mean, this won't affect
the economy. No, that's what these guys want to do with the World Cup, dude. Yeah. No, let's talk about...
Just the economy of this table, man.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because I think the most common sense thing for people is like, oh, you're gambling on sports. You're betting on who's going to win. But there's odds for who might lose the worst.
Right.
That's what I'm into. Right. You know?
That's what makes it fun.
Mayhem. Right.
Especially if you find teams that are undervalued as losers, right? Because then you can say someone else actually deserves to be ranked lower than that.
And I feel very
comfortable. Be a little positive.
It sounds like something like a nice grandma would say about your significant other.
Yeah.
I think they're just undervalued about how much of a loser they are.
Right. Yeah, no, I feel very comfortable. Could have done worse in any discussion about losers. So,
When it comes to who is going to finish last in the group, there are odds in DraftKings that you can, this is something that you can bet on. And this is kind of an unorthodox kind of approach to betting on sports, but I think it can be a lot of fun. So we should...
Right, because you can't pick the easy one, right? Like, as an example, Philippines in Group A, they have terrible odds.
Right.
Because they're going to finish last.
They're going to finish last. They're minus 3,500. If you want to bet $3,500 to win $100...
Go for it.
Yeah.
In this way, go for it.
That twists the mind. To bet $3,500 on a team that's most likely finish last... To finish last.
Think about that.
That's not even fun.
You're going to take a wild bet, $3,500, and they're going to hand you back $3,600 for being right. That doesn't make any sense.
What are you going to do with that $100?
Yeah.
But I hope something to help the Philippines.
I thought you were honestly asking. You know
what I would do with those $100? I'd go make a bet in Group B, because that's a fun little mix there, right? You've got Canada and Australia are sort of bigger favorites to get out of the group, but you've got Ireland at plus 120 to finish last, Nigeria at minus 140. So do you?
So for people who don't know, if you bet 100 on Ireland, you win. You take home 220.
Yes. Make a $120 profit.
For Nigeria,
let's get that straight at least on the show.
For Nigeria, you have to bet $140 to take home 240. If you win.
Yeah, you make 100. You get they give you you win $100 if you bet 140.
Plus the original bet back.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
How did I confuse you by doing the simplest
task? So my question is...
It's hard to bet to lose on purpose.
It's close enough. We just talked about how much we liked Ireland. Does it make sense to lay a little money on Nigeria to finish last in the group?
This feels like one of those where you just...
You do both,
right? I don't know. Like,
no,
you can't do both. No, no, no. We're three segments in. You're already hedging bets, grandma.
I'm the loser.
Yeah.
No. Here's the
answer. This isn't Plinko or bingo.
Yeah, exactly. G. Yeah. 64N.
When you play roulette, do you play both red and black?
Yeah. Okay. Never lose, baby.
No. Here's the answer.
How much did you win? Nothing, but I had a good time.
Okay.
After all night, we
enjoyed the vacation.
Yeah.
All night screaming for double zero.
Yeah.
Here's the answer. You don't do either. You go to group Z, C.
Okay.
I almost said Z, and you'll see why in a minute, because there is value there. Zambia, okay? If you average up the FIFA ratings, like which are like ELO ratings, which are like between 1,000 and 2,000 to rate these teams, if you average the top three in each group and compare them to the fourth, like how far behind is the fourth place team? Zambia is an average of more than 540 ratings points beyond the other three teams in the group. That's the biggest gap, okay? Right. Now look, I like to name the Copper Queens. I root for developing countries. Zambia has an interesting player development program where basically those players are in their military. They're kind of semi-pros. They either play for the Air Force or the Army. There's a lot to like about Barbara Banda. They're a great striker.
But even more than that, the crazy thing is the betting split. There's been this crazy recency bias in favor of Zambia, so you're getting better odds betting them finishing last in Costa Rica.
Right, and we know why. Because Zambia, in the last match before this World Cup starts, beat Germany 3-2 in a final.
Yeah, yeah.
The first and last and only time most people have ever seen Zambia play, they were beating Germany. So money has rushed in to avoid Zambia being last in the group. But here's the deal. They have a couple of good strikers, but their defense is terrible. And that's not going to serve you well when you're playing
elite
opposition.
And they also lost their starting goalkeeper to an ACL injury. So that's, I think, even more reason why you don't want them to finish last. But
if you're betting... And look, 2 or 3 days ago, a giant scandal, potential scandal.
I mean, doesn't Costa Rica
allegations
kind of suck too,
burst
though?
Out about their head coach, who's, without judging the case or anything, he's still running the program.
Right.
That's not the kind of chaos we talk about.
You're not
helping
the
underdog.
Yeah, you're not going in with the right mentality.
The counter is that they don't suck as bad as Costa Rica. So the question is, all these things could be true. Are we comfortable enough that Costa Rica is going to beat them that we can bet?
It's worth putting a hundo on Zambia.
Yeah, look, Costa Rica.
Especially because they're not that good defensively. And I heard you say it's the teams that are defensive. And I can imagine Costa Rica going park that bus.
Also, if it's, look, it's Spain, Japan, and Costa Rica.
Costa Rica's parking the bus. That's exactly right.
Three countries that have been in World Cups in the past. It's like when it's the new country there, you're gonna have to assume you're probably going to have the rookie is going to have a tougher time. And Costa Rica has a decent squad. They have Rocky Rodriguez. Is she still at the Thorns? I think she might still be. But it feels like, just like Peter mentioned, this feels like a good bet if you want.
So do you mind if I just go get my phone real quick and lock it in?
Get it in.
Plus 250.
By the way, it's not the first time I've told you this. I can't believe the bet isn't already locked in on your phone for both of us. This is very disappointing.
As usual, I don't listen to you. But
and as usual, my proxy better doesn't put my money down.
There we go.
Okay. Well, I guess it's interesting. You guys share an account. And you share finances.
Only virtually. Yeah.
Well, Christian will put $100 that they will finish last and $100 that they won't finish last.
Okay. I'm just here to have a good time.
I just like to see numbers.
obviously, there's a couple other, any other of the groups that could cause any kind of surprise or any other exciting bets possibly?
I mean, Group F has a little bit of betting drama if you wanted to look at it that way. Just Jamaica's plus 275, Panama minus 450. So the thought is Panama is going to finish last. Is there any case to be made for them surpassing Jamaica and getting some plus money from Jamaica to finish last?
That'd be interesting. I could see either of those teams finishing last.
I mean, it would be such a shock if Panama finished above Jamaica. I mean, and it would be it'd be also devastating for Jamaica, who's like World Cup after World Cup trying to just like show some progress in the program and improve. It feels like fairly accurate that Panama will probably finish last.
Why are you feeling so bad about this? We're betting to find out who loses.
Is it the tone of my voice a little bit?
Because,
very fatherly.
No, I think because some of us don't like to put all our money against nations who you're kind of pulling
right,
for.
Right.
I mean, this game means a lot. This group means, even if they don't
but
advance,
it's about money.
Means
I'll bet
a lot
the
to Jamaica, you know? I mean, is that think about everything's loyalty, happened in the country of Jamaica. I don't want to be sitting there like, lose more, lose now.
Yeah.
Have another lightning strike. Like, I feel like I'm rooting, you know. But I mean, it's hard to do sometimes.
It's not that hard.
The nature, I think what makes this a little bit more fun and exciting is when you do have some skin in the game.
Absolutely.
To get you wanting a team to lose.
Yeah, imagine yourself at the bar going like, come on, Zambia. Everyone's like, yeah, this guy. Imagine being like, no, score against Zambia more. And you're like, what is, destroy them. What did Zambia do to this dude? Yeah.
May more destruction rain down on the Vietnam. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, this guy will forget the war, man.
Yeah, dude, I mean, geez, we're not still the Nixon administration anymore.
Why do you always destroy me, Zambia?
Yeah.
Zambia!
Relax.
Wait, all right. So I got two more quick questions for you guys. Oh, please, Peter.
No. I was just going to ask you which team is the most likely that you feel to absolutely finish last?
Like, in the whole tournament? In other words,
who's the most likely to bottom out?
Because several
completely.
Teams will be on 0 points, so then you got to go to goal differential for the absolute worst team in the tournament.
Yeah. And we already just said Vietnam might have trouble scoring at all.
Yeah, Vietnam. Like, given the group that they're in and playing against the U.S., obviously the U.S. will not let up. I mean, we might have a little bit of a repeat of what happened to Thailand in 2019. Let's get it out of the way now. Look, everybody, let's not do this again. Let's not complain about the goals.
It's good engagement. Complain all you want, buddy. Yeah. Get out there.
I was kind of feeling the same way about Morocco, though, because Germany beat up and didn't relent on Bulgaria, on Israel, on Turkey. I think they outscored those countries 30-0 in four matches.
Jeez.
I mean, there could be a real beat down coming against Morocco in that group, too.
So I've got two more quick questions on this, though, as I try to assemble a betting card before the tournament. One, Group G, we haven't gotten to yet. Argentina at +200 to finish last. South Africa -225. Is there a value in taking Argentina to finish last?
I can see that.
That's a good. I think that's what I'm. That's what I'm betting on.
That's a fun long shot, right?
Switched. Now he's excited about this.
Okay, and then the last question.
You guys just do not like Argentina. Yeah. We'll get to the bottom of this, but maybe not in this show.
I'll tell you in the commercial.
But there's something going on. Yeah.
All right, last question of these 32 teams.
Man, something to do with your dad.
Actually, not that far. Not that far, to be honest with you.
Full circle. All right. Something to do with Peter's dad? Yeah.
go for it, Jordan.
So of these 32 teams, and then looking at sort of the top half, if there's one team's going to crap the bed, one team's going to finish last unexpectedly, who is that team?
Ooh, that's a great
question. You might have just said Argentina.
If you're looking at teams with really long odds and said, you know what, it is like a team at +1,000 to finish last, I could see a debacle.
Where they finish last.
I could see
maybe this isn't really answering your question, I don't think, but I could see Spain, because of so many problems with the Federation, certain players saying they didn't want to play.
Last in their group?
No, you gotta give me last in the group.
It's not that bad. They still know how to play soccer.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Right? There's still such a top distinction between the top and bottom
half.
It's
tough.
Overall,
what's
right?
the toughest group?
Just like, could you get like a, I don't know, like a
Italy or
a South Korea or a Colombia.
I'd love to say Australia, but I don't see it happening.
Colombia, I could see finishing last. That wouldn't be that.
Not much of a shock, though.
That's the Cincinnati Reds equivalent of this bet, right?
Mm. Yeah. You know what? They won't forget that. They won't relent that we call it soccer. So I'll say England. Finishing last.
Let's go. So England, you're getting +10,000 to finish last.
Yeah, I do.
That way we can root for Denmark and China.
Let's all agree to put $5 on England to finish last.
Let's go.
America.
America.
Let's extend the choking narrative into women's soccer.
Yeah. Let's go.
In England. Take that, Charles.
Yes, let's do it.
You're done, England.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
See you, Camilla.
All right. We'll be back with more Cooligans Underdogs special, Women's World Cup special, in just a moment, right here on the DraftKings Network.
Welcome back to the Underdogs Cooligans crossover, the spectacular of the millennium. Looking at the Women's World Cup. Here we go. It's finally time to talk about who might win this whole thing. We've talked about the U.S. Who else has a shot? Jordan Brenner, my Underdogs co-host. Who else has a shot?
Well, the next big favorites, England's a plus 350.
Yeah, but we just picked them to finish last.
Right.
In the group, so.
Spain's at plus 450. They were also talked about maybe finishing last. Germany plus 650, and you got France at plus 1,000. Those are sort of the big five for now. Guys, if it's not the U.S., which of those other ones do you think is the odds-on favorite?
From those that you just mentioned?
Let's go from that group, too.
Semi-favorites,
because then I've got a little game we're going to play after.
Because those groups, I mean, those teams have narrowed the gap with the U.S.
Yes,
in the past 5-10 years, right?
I would say England. It feels like England is England, the most prepared to beat the U.S.
So can I bet them to both finish last and to win? So they're either going to flame out spectacularly or win the whole thing.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. I don't care what you do with your money.
Hey, at Underdogs, we say high risk, high reward. That's boom bust. So
there you go. Yeah.
First last is a good parlay, I think.
So what else do you like about them?
I just think the quality of their domestic league has grown tremendously to the point where it's starting to feel, maybe not wage-wise just yet, but it's starting to feel like it's very well competing. There's very large transfers that are happening. It feels like it's at the point where the median of talent has risen, not just the superstar level. The median of talent has risen, which gives me a lot of confidence that those filler positions that you don't have superstars in are going to be of higher quality. So a team like England, you know, they do have some injuries. Leah Williamson is, I think, going to be a massive loss. But I do think that they are more prepared.
Yeah, and that's just the main thing. As far as attacking talent in the Women's World Cup, they're the closest, in my opinion, to the U.S. But this is their opportunity. This is their best chance, I think, to win a World Cup. And I hope that they get to face the U.S. because that'll be one of the most entertaining games that we have in this tournament. But yeah, I have to pick them as well. I mean, like they're very, very good. The margins between I think the England and the U.S. I still think are a bit stark. You would have to favor the U.S. A lot if they faced each other. But yeah, England, they've genuinely been impressive the last, especially like 2 years.
So much of the play leading up to the World Cup has to do with federation or confederation play and the teams you're most familiar with. How seriously do you take the idea that teams that don't play the U.S. a lot have still nevertheless built up like a strong motivation to knock off the number one team in the world? Does that actually make a difference?
I don't think so. In fact, I think the more you play the U.S., probably the better. The more you understand, especially if you play in the U.S. and you get a chance to play against some of these players in the domestic league, I feel like you kind of begin to understand where they can beat you and maybe play away from those strengths, from their strengths. I think not competing against them, especially because the U.S. is such a monolith in the sport, it creates such a shock when you do play. And you're like, wow, that's faster than it looks like on TV.
Right, right.
You know, they're stronger than they look. You know, we met Rose Lavelle, who may not even play in this World Cup because of health injury reasons, but she's such a tiny person, and when you see her on the pitch, she's like knocking people over and like you can't take the ball away from her. So I feel like you have to meet these people in person, you have to play against them in order to really kind of get a test.
So no love for Germany, huh? You know, made it to, you know, the finals of the
Didn't they just lose to Zambia?
we said it was a mirage, my friend. We said it was a mirage. Lost to England 2-1 in the finals of the Euro. They've long considered a competitive challenger to the U.S. No love there at all?
I mean, some love.
Yeah, I think Lena Oberdorf is a great player.
Pop, right, is also on
that's
the team.
Right.
They have they look good in some of these in a lot of these tournaments, but I think Germany comparatively to some of the other countries, they have sometimes just bigger, taller, stronger players. And when it comes to set pieces, that's where they get a lot of goals and they can dominate a lot of countries. But as soon as they play a couple teams that are just have gifted players, they struggle a little bit. And like, again, they're not getting blown out in matches. So you would have to think that they have some real chance of winning the whole thing. But given the quality of some of the other teams, even the ones in Europe, I don't see Germany getting too far.
You know where that dominance built on physical skill shows up is in how they wipe out inferior teams. Again, Germany's a team that beat Bulgaria in the run-up to this World Cup 7-0, 8-0. Israel, 7-0. Turkey, 8-0. You know, in Europe, when you're a physically dominant team, you get to take it out on North Macedonia.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It sort of reminds me of the way I take out on you often.
We're all thinking it, dude.
But look, enough of these the heavy favorites, right? Again, we're underdogs.
We
like to look at the next level. So let's play a little game.
Uncomfortable. England, Germany. What are we, you know?
Why are we even talking about it?
Right. Let's play a little game. Take out the five teams that have plus 1,000 odds or better. So no U.S., no England, no Spain, no Germany, no France. Of the remaining teams, who's your pick to win the World Cup?
Interesting.
So my because they won the Olympics.
No.
Oh, this is, go ahead. I think we're going to reach some consensus.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
That's my. I think because of that experience.
Canada.
Look, and obviously this. There's so many incredible players that play in NWSL that I watch week in and week out. Canada, I think, is probably a bit too much of an underdog, in my opinion.
Is too much. I think that's right. I think the narrative has gone so far against them. They're the number 10 favorite, actually tied with Japan at plus
3,500 to win this World Cup. So, and the Olympic champions.
So, Peter, we always talk about chaos working for underdogs.
Well, look, this is a team riven by chaos.
Yeah. I mean,
when you're on your podcast, do you talk into your mic?
I was told not to move back and forth. So I will,
oh my god, we need to bring back NPK. We had a character in it, the NPR version of Peter last year.
I had to sit here and talk in my NPR tone.
Peter, you're doing great. Come on, NPK. As the
NPR version. Yeah, the gentle dew forms on the Bay of Biscayne in Canada.
I feel relaxed.
Young women take the pitch to see if they can score for the Maple Leafs.
You can see in season 3 of Only Murders in the Building as well.
I feel like you guys are, yes, Canada's great. We're forgetting a huge issue with Canada. They are currently bankrupt as a federation.
Yeah.
The players are arguing about not getting enough pay. They're not even going to be able to play friendlies on the lead up to this World Cup.
Okay,
but from
the comfort of my microphone, let me ask you a question.
In a regular
year, that could make all the difference. But now let's look at the teams in this World Cup. How many of them have financial issues? Issues with their coaches, issues with their federations. How many of them might not even show up because they might not get paid?
That's why they slide down.
There's teams that aren't being paid bonuses. I'm talking about all these other teams. And add on to that, how many sexual abuse and allegations are there?
Unfortunately, too many. One is too many, obviously.
Half this field is immersed in some kind of chaos or another. So that means if you have chaos, it doesn't hurt you as much as it normally would because no one else is playing at full, organized, immaculate strength.
We're forgetting one major thing.
Also,
you said that the task here is to pick everyone that's greater than minus 1,000,
plus
right? Plus 1,000. The next one at plus 1,200 is the host nation and a potential superpower with probably one of the greatest scorers of all time and a pretty good team defensively.
Right. And how many
Australia? You're going plus 3,500?
Are you sick enough yet of reading stories about how a team has to travel back and forth between Perth and wherever? Yes, we get it. We get the narrative. The home field advantage has been overplayed. They're overvalued because of it.
You think there's a plus 1,200, plus 3,500 difference between
Australia and Canada?
Is not winning this World Cup.
Neither is Canada.
Well, but you're getting Canada at plus 3,500. And I think to Peter's point, look, Canada could fall apart
completely. I had a
point. It's rare, I know.
I had a point.
Canada could fall apart completely, but presumably, okay, if they've advanced to the knockout stage, they're doing something right. And if they win another game, they're doing something right. So
if they win their group, they're in the right half of the field.
So you might as well pick them to win at all if they haven't fallen apart. Does that make any sense?
Sure. I think I'm going to give a little bit more respect to Australia, the program that they've built, what Sam Kerr means to the players around her, and the fact that it's home.
I mean, we've seen Sam Kerr, you know, obviously play for club teams. She was with the Red Stars.
She's at Chelsea.
And Chelsea, she's on a very strong squad. But Sam Kerr can't do it by herself. We've seen her on teams that don't have other attacking options. And they, you know, we were at the NWSL final with Red Stars against Courage, and they completely locked Sam Kerr out of the game. And I think that's, given that everyone knows that she's the best player on the Australian team, they're going to focus a lot. I don't think she's not winning a golden boot in this tournament. I think it's going to be a tough time for her. She's obviously going to get a goal here and there. But as far as winning the whole thing, Australia get out of the group, sure. But I think they're going to
How many goals have Canada given up this year, this calendar year? Ooh. Zero. Their defensive strategy.
Right, their goalkeeper is amazing.
Their defensive strategy is.
She's the backup.
Their defensive strategy, according to their own coach, is to try to pitch shutouts. That's what'll get you far in this tournament.
I'll add this. I'm with you guys on Canada. I think that's a good bet at plus 3,500. I'm also looking at Brazil at plus 2,500. Recent results: draw against England. They beat Germany. They competed against. Lost 2-1 to the U.S. in the She Believes Cup.
There's also Marta Legends last World Cup.
Right. So if we're gonna play the narrative game. With Kerr, we can do the same with Marta, I think.
Right,
so.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's one and the same.
I mean, by the way, Christine Sinclair is as old as Jordan, and she's still playing. She should get like 1/100th of the ink of Sam Kerr.
I'm much better in the air, though.
Yeah. I'm afraid to say that this is her last World Cup because you just never know with Christine Sinclair. She just won't go away, but in a positive way because she means so much.
That's what they say about Jordan, too.
Yeah, that's also what they say about me, but without that. In a good way. Just take that part out.
So subscribe to the Cooligans podcast and subscribe to the Underdogs podcast. You guys are the absolute best. Thank you so much for joining us, Peter and Jordan. Everybody, go get the DraftKings app.
Yes.
And make the picks that, we got some good guidance, I think.
Bro, you got a couple of geniuses here that have explained how gambling works, and the Underdogs are also here.
And I learned I can bet on both sides.
There you go.
First and last.
That's the move. All right. All right, everybody. You guys absolute best. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Cheers.